Blog Talk Radio.
Well, they've decided on the Final Four. There are four teams, and the decisions are in, and the Giants clean house. Talk about all that, college football and NFL football and whatever else on RSC One Mic.
Log Talk Radio.
This thing right here,
yeah.
Is for my people's in the streets.
Yes, today. You know, as we start this show, this one mic.
We hail. There is a pause throughout the stadium as this man sounds like he just coughed up a lung. They're looking around the Jumbotron shows and fans, the cheerleaders, and as it goes down each cheerleader's face, each one breaks up into laughter, which at this particular time destroys half the stadium. The other half is still trying to figure out what the hell just happened. Does this guy need CPR or something? And then at that particular time, I lost it. Devon dropped.
Yes. Today,
Log Talk Radio.
This one mic.
Phoenix is another place. They got a great training staff. I mean, they were able to breathe life back into Shaq. And if you can do that, you know, people talk a lot about their training staff.
Yes, today, you know, as we start this show, this one mic.
Well, the verdict's in. We've decided on the four teams. There's a lot of debate about it, but we'll hit that tonight on one mic. Get into those topics. We'll talk about my folks who follow me on Snapchat. We'll talk about my journey down to Indianapolis, last minute decision. We'll get into a little bit of that tonight. Talk about the whirlwind trip, you know, to go to the Big Ten Championship. It was a great experience, and some insight as I was thinking on my way back and some of the things I was sharing with folks in that space. But a lot has happened in, we would say, 48 hours of time here in the college football land. The host and all callers are brought to you by Carbon World Health, your complete solution for fitness, health, and beauty. Go to carbonworldhealth.com to connect with Dr. Nestor Rodriguez and his staff to learn more about lifestyle medicine. Tell them that the Real Sports Guy sent you. And we'd like to invite you to follow us and like us at realsportsguys.com or go directly to social media platforms, search for realsportsguys.com, real sports guys. And also go to iTunes or any podcast platform and search for Real Sports Guys. Listen to us, like us, give us reviews. We're building this underground style. I want to thank Dr. Rodriguez for hosting me when I went down to Big Ten Championship. Hung out with him and the fam and Ashley and her son, and just was a great experience down there watching the game with them. And, you know, it was tough loss if you were rooting for the Badgers, a great win if you're rooting for the Buckeyes, and there's still disappointment because the final decision is in. And we are without a Big Ten team in that Final Four, but we have four, I believe, very strong teams. I definitely had an opinion about it, and I'll share that as we progress throughout the show to really understand it. But the first thing first, the Maras, boy. The thing about the Giants, New York football Giants, is that they have in many ways, along with the Rooney family and others, kind of been the standard bearer for the NFL, have been synonymous with class and doing it the right way in a lot of different ways, very respectful They're not the kind of organization that's going to be a knee-jerk organization. In some ways, that's very hard to do in a city like New York City, where you're getting pressure from media outlets, talking heads, a lot of the major sports-related infrastructure either has main headquarters close to New York City or part of their operation station in New York, or have some affiliation there from a media standpoint. You know, it's either New York or L.A. And so you're usually the center point of that. And for the most part, the Jets have stolen the headlines for football in New York for futility. And the Giants have kind of been that standard bearer for football in the New York, greater New York area. And so, you know, they've hit some rock bottom. My goodness, you know, what are they sitting at 2-10, talking about benching Manning, which created a lot of reaction. Now, to be fair, McAdoo and them, was the plan was not to really bench him, but the plan was they wanted to see, you know, what they had in the quarterback position. And so they definitely want to start him. And in more ways, because their offensive line was terrible and under duress, you know, in some ways preserve him, but also see what they got behind them. And they were not, were caught off guard by the reaction they received. And basically was like, if you're not going to play me, then start the other person. And they were going to go and start Geno. And they started Geno this past weekend. But it just was too much to deal with, and didn't perform well. And you wake up this morning, and not only do they clear out McAdoo, but they clear out Reese, the GM, longtime GM, basically grown up. You know, as an executive in that organization, and you know, with 4 games left, cleared the house. Had a chance to listen to the press conference, and I think Mara, you know, one thing I appreciated, he took ownership in for the parts that he played in it, and where some of the blame had to be. Sometimes that's just talking head speak to kind of move the issue on and deflect, but I think it was honest about the role that as a leader he could have played a better role in it, even especially with the Manning incident and, you know, having a little more control of that given how much he's meant to the franchise over the years. People can be very critical of the record during that time period and how that goes. But the bottom line is you got 2 Super Bowls, and there's a lot of organizations that would love to have 2 Super Bowls. And that's just a fact. Love to have 2 Super Bowls. And so to know that you have 2 Super Bowls, to know that that you've been relevant enough during this run, but obviously that you can't put up with a season like this, particularly when they made all these investments. You know, John Mara and Steve Tisch, both the owners, made some investments in the defense. They tried to lift their positions up. And so, you know, they say Spagnuolo is going to take over as a coach. They did say that they were going to invite him to apply for the job, but I thought that's kind of premature. Let him take over as a coach and then figure out if he plays himself into being relevant for the job. Because, you know, last time I looked, when he was with St. Louis, you know, they didn't have a stellar record. And not, you know, we've learned from Belichick and that whole experience in Cleveland that you can bounce back again, but you got to make people earn this. You know, you're going to get rid of Jerry Reese and you can't, you know, you can't be inviting these interims to then apply for the permanent position until they show that they can actually do something and lead. Entertain that once the season's over, if they've demonstrated some things in these final weeks that part I think might have been a little bit overstepping for it. But the timing of it, when you look at starting, you know, the process, getting out in front of the draft, getting out in front of free agency, get out in front of a coach's search if there's a coach you have an eye on and wanted to be first to it, with New York and the Giants, not just New York City, but the Giants having a history of, you know, doing the things they need to do to be in contention, you know, in a division, frankly, that, you know, even though Philadelphia is looking good, hasn't had a lot of stability. Look what was happening with the Cowboys right now. They're in transition. Washington is clearly in transition. You don't know what's going to happen in that situation. So you have the ability to bounce back and gain control. And the most stabilizing aspect of that division, you have to argue, for the past 10 years has probably been the Giants, where with the rest of them kind of going up and down. So it creates an opportunity to somehow capture and get a stranglehold on that division if you can get the right leadership in place. So this is where we're at, and it's going to begin the carousel. But when I look at this, I think it's the right decision. It's a thoughtful decision. They've underperformed. Reese has kind of been under fire for a few years. You know, you look at what Coughlin's doing down in Jacksonville. That doesn't help. You know, and Coughlin wanted to have a little bit more leadership in the organization. If you think you see how fast he's turning Jacksonville around, that also doesn't look good for the Giants. So there's a lot of pieces and reasons why you need to make this move, and you need to make this move right now. And so we have to stay tuned and look at this, check it out, understand kind of where this stuff is going. But it's going to be quite a run here as we start to see how these last four games of the Giants go, get a sense of how they're going to be moving forward. You know, what I love about Mary, he said he went in and talked to his assistant coaches and folks like this. And, you know, he was basically like, we're not talking about tanking. We expect to be competing and trying to win all of these games. I love his attitude about that. Like, there's a Giant way, and that's leadership. And to me, there's a lot of folks who are not assuming that leadership. So I love Amara's approach to this. You could disagree, you can argue with it, but he's taking this thing well on. Well, you're listening to RSG One Mic. This is our show when we go deep in on a topic tonight. I'm going deep in on what's happening with the final four teams we have here going for this national championship run, and how we got that. We'll get into that a little bit more as we move through the show. If you're interested in listening to our other parts of our platform, we got a wide catalog. On that catalog, we have Inside the Park. That's our focus on baseball. Hank leads that. Hank Davis, who usually co-hosts with me on One Mic, has a podcast focused on baseball. And more than just the analytics, he's getting back to the heart and soul of baseball in the way in which the game was intended. He's trying to bring a little bit of that character and flow back into it. So it's a great listen. It historically been one of our popular podcasts on our platform. We also have The Big Show. The Big Show with myself, Marcus, and Phil. You know, this is the barbershop format, you know, the faculty in the barbershop seminar flow with a little bit of, you know, it's going to have some intellectual stuff mixed in with the barbershop attitude and swag. And so it's always got good energy to it. And then we got Hustle and Flows, that's Sekou and Marcus. It's kind of intersection between hip hop and sports. And so a lot of things for many different people. We got more stuff coming to you. We're going to be dropping here over the next year. You know, we always throw a new wrinkle here and there that we want to have some exclusive experiences for our listeners. Will be dropping here within the next, you know, year, that we love to have y'all continue to do it. Like we look at it, we bring one member at a time. You know, we're looking at quality, not quantity. And so, you know, we love the folks who engage and listen to us, give us great feedback. We consider you part of the family, and we're going to keep this moving. And our pledge to y'all is just keep making this thing better, hot, and real and honest, and you know, authentic. You know, we're not going to try and get too Hollywood with it. And so we appreciate you and look forward to continue to hold that vibe down. But tonight, you know, we're going to hit in on this college football, you know, what's going on in the game over there. We're going to get real deep into, some of the stuff that if you didn't follow me on Twitter, I had to go a little bit at Tebow and, you know, it seemed like they were hating on, on the Badgers and hating on some people. And so, you know, I wanted to make sure that I, these voiced some other opinions about some of this stuff. My guy, Tony Cantillana, had to, you know, support me out there, give me a little like. And when I dropped it on it, you know, I had a chance to connect with Tony down there in Indianapolis while they were taping their show before the Big Ten Championship. It was good to see them and my colleagues over there with ESPN Madison. You know, they still kick it with the underground. You know, they keep it real. They listen to us. You know, it's one of the things, you know, you can't listen too loud in the office. Let them know that you listen to real. It's kind of like the folks at TRL used to, you know, they listen to 106 in Park. They listen to Rap City. You know, that's kind of how it went down. But we got friends in high places and they get down with us. So we're going to take a little musical break. We got my boy DJ Slick. You know, he always puts something with it for us. We're going to drop some vibe with him. And when I come back, we're going to hit on this first conversation with what's going on with the college Final Four and what's been going on in the championship.
To the folk, Snoop Doggy Dogg and Dr. Dre is at the dope, ready to make an entrance, so back on up.
Before I have to pull the strap off the cut,
give me the microphone first so I can bust like a bubble. Compton and Long Beach together, now you know you in trouble, cause ain't nothing but a G-thang, baby. Two low-def G, so we crazy. Death Row is the label that pays, man. Unfadable, so please don't try to fake it. But back to the lecture at hand. Perfection is perfected, so I'ma let them understand from a young G's perspective. And before me, they got a trick, I have to find a contraceptive. You never know, she could be earning her man and learning her man, and at the same time burning her man. Now if she burning, I'ma chill for a minute, cause ain't no loving good enough to get burned while I'm offended.
Yeah.
And that's realer than real deal Holyfield. And now you hooked up in hoes know how I feel. Well, if it's good enough to get off of a proper chunk, I take a small piece of some of that funky stuff.
It's like this and like that and like this and it's like that and like this and like that and it's like this and like that and like this and
Drake creeps to the mic like a fan.
Well, I'm peeping and I'm creeping and I'm creeping, but I damn near got kept, cause my beeper kept beeping. Now it's time for me to make my impression felt. So sit back, relax, and strap on your seat, cause you've never been on a ride like this before. With a producer who can rap and control the maestro at the same time with the dope rhyme that I kick. You know and I know I throw some old funky shit to add to my collection. The selection symbolizes dope. Take a toast but don't choke. If you do, you have no clue. It wasn't me and my homie Snoop Dogg came to do.
It's like this and like that and like this and it's like that and like this and like that and it's like this and like that and like this and it's like that and like this and like that and it's like this and like that.
This smashing hits make it hard to adapt to this. Put pizzazz and jazz in this. The cash in this. Master this. Blast it and make a clap to this. DJs don't want cuts and obey the crowd. Just pump the volume up and play it loud. Hip hop embedded. Before I said I wouldn't let it. But me and the microphone is still magnetic. Straight off the top. I knew I'd be forced to rock. Dead floor to stock. Spot scorching hot. Hoping I open. Rocking my law. Seminars. Massage at the bar. Smoking 10 hours cigars while I'm my meaties. With more vision and TVs, I find it easy catching diabetes to fly sweeties. Sit back and wait to hear slamming tracks. Rock a damn by popular demand. I'm back. I control the crowd.
Mercedes. body's moving. I popped the Perrier Jouer, trying to get the two-way cracking. Me and you back in the back of the back room, acting like you can't come back soon enough to do it rough, cause you a bluff, but I'm a winner. I can hold, watch your pretty legs fold. Stiletto to the metal, panties roll, settle print. You with a subtle scent, trying to get you double bent. And why the Oakland? I'm the double stroke man. Sprinkle you a Gucci Rush, then I make your Gucci bust.
You ain't got the axe, I'm a Mac, and I always get my way. I wanna hit it from the back, wanna get it at a smack, and I know you wanna taste that. I can tell by the way that she's staring. She wants to come home with me, she wanna sleep with me, she wanna play with me, she wanna lay with me. I can tell by the look in her eye when she passed by.
All right, welcome back. RZ, that was DJ Slick. That's our in-house DJ. I got a little bit of it underneath for you, playing for you, letting it feel good to you. It's always good with DJ Slick. Thank you for always your contribution to One Mic. This is One Mic, brought to you by Carbon World Health, your complete solution for fitness, health, and beauty. Go to carbonworldhealth.com and tell them that the Real Sports Guys sent you. So they make the final selections. Now, let me set the table. So Saturday morning, I'm sitting around, and wife tells me she gonna head over to Milwaukee, get her hair done. She's got something to do with one of her good friends who's a teacher, and so she's gonna go do that. So I'm like, okay, I'll chill with my daughter. She's like, I got to go see Daddy, Dad. I got stuff. She wants to be a nurse practitioner, so she's going to take care of business over there. So I'm like, it's Saturday. I had said I wasn't going to go. So I'm sitting in Wisconsin, not too far outside Madison. And so I had just been in Michigan, and one of the guys in the stands told me, like, hey, if you wait kind of close to these games, you can get cheap tickets. He said, you know, the Ohio State-Michigan ticket, some people just got them online right before the game for like $50. So I said, well, let me check online to see what tickets are to the Big Ten Championship. And then I go to StubHub. I go to a couple other services, and I see there's a ticket for $83. So I'm like, wow, I might get this ticket and ride down. And so you see Carbon World Health, our owner over there, Dr. Nestor Rodriguez and co-owner Ashley Greer, they were on their way down with family members already to the game. And so I text them like, hey, I might see y'all down in Indianapolis. I hit my guy Tony Contiangan up, try to figure out, you know, where they set up down there. And so I might be down there, try to catch up with y'all before the game and go in here and check the game out. You know, Doc is like, hey, I got an extra ticket. If you come on down here, we can go. So next day I know I'm checking the GPS. And like, okay, what's the distance? Like, oh, it's only 4.5 hours. Oh, bet. I'm like, I'm on the road. You know, my wife is like, get stuff just in case you're staying overnight. So I'm on my way to Indianapolis. Now, mind you, I woke up saying I'm going to actually end up watching this game somewhere in the area, get around some Badger folks and crowds, you know, maybe do it down in Rockford, Illinois, some of my old stomping grounds down there, enjoy around that crowd. You know, I was making plans possibly go up to Madison, hang out a little bit, watch it. But then I head on down. So I'm on the road, got everything going, got my coffee right, heading on down. You know, I decided to, you know, not go through Chicago. I went down towards Champaign, Urbana, Yahoo, familiar with the Midwest, make my way on over to Indianapolis. And I make good time. I get in there, get over, check, find Tony, and they were at this place called Brothers, right near the stadium. Hang out with them. The crowd's getting crazy. Watch the game, and then we, you know, I connect with them. We head on in. Now, one of the things that I have been thinking about all the way down is, you know, kind of this idea that you know, what we're going to take. What is the keys to Wisconsin beating Ohio State? And one of the things I've been saying all along about Ohio State, and I've had a chance to watch them play in person, watch them a little bit, is that Barrett struggles to play quarterback. What do I mean by that? these are things he does well. Obviously, he can run well. People already know that. He either throws the crossing routes or throws the deep ball. And he does a good job of throwing it deep where only his guy can get it or it's incomplete. So there's two things he can do well. And what teams end up doing with that, and Michigan did this the week before, and Wisconsin did it early on, that cost them, is they end up playing a man-to-man, and then you try to load the box. It's the wrong way to play Ohio State. The best way to play Ohio State is play zone, make sure all 11 guys are looking in the backfield and looking the ball in front of them. That's the best way to play Ohio State. And force Barrett to throw traditional routes. And if you do that, he'll throw the ball to you. He'll do it. And don't get caught up with the shifts and all that stuff that they do. What Ohio State tries to do is they try to outflank you. And so that they try to get a guy on the edge so they can outflank you. So either their running back can get around the edge or Barrett can get around the edge, or they're going to run the power game with a Barrett following the back up through the line. But a lot of the shifts are designed to just keep you adjusting, but it's going to go to one of the same two people. It's just not going to be. And I was convinced because Wisconsin plays the 3-4 that Jim Leonard would do that. Then I looked out there. I saw a single high safety. I'm like, damn, man, what is going on? Don't do this. And if you watch the plays, one missed tackle and they gone. Like they stop them in third long, and then they somehow get caught in this man. And the one had the safety covering their fastest receiver. He was beat off the line. Second half, they get smart, play a lot more zone. Quarters, play a lot more of that stuff. Now they start boxing up. He even turned it over. He turned it over because the best players for Wisconsin, some of the best players are their linebackers. They know how to drop. They know how to get up under coverage. And so they get an interception by the sidelines because he threw it right to them. And it's okay to disguise your pre-snap like it looked like man and then drop in the zone. And the reason why I'm convinced, the reason why Iowa blew them out is because Iowa from the jump knew they couldn't run with Ohio State. So they played zone, they played under there, they disguised, selective man, but they were forcing him, if you look at those plays, to throw. And then when he broke contain, they had linebackers up there to clean it up so he couldn't get any extra yards. That's how you play Ohio State. And two weekends in a row, Michigan defensive coordinator and Leonard outthinking the room. You got great players, just line up and let them play. And when he did it, they started to dominate control. They outscored him in the second half. The other problem that Wisconsin has is, which is a hard thing about it, is Hornibrook is not ready for prime time. And it was clear he does not set his feet. He does not. And so two things. Barrett has eaten off of in the Big Ten so far, particularly with Michigan and Wisconsin, is – they have been in transition at the quarterback spot, and he's eaten off of that right away. And so where the battle's won is that the other opposing team's quarterback is not leading and making plays. The one thing I know about Urban Meyer, he gets right away, is that, and it's obvious, but a lot of teams don't get this. A lot of teams think you can manage this, is he realized that his best player or best leader on the court always has to be his quarterback. I've never seen an Urban Meyer team that's good, that it's not clear from the jump that his quarterback is the leader. You can go right through it. He finds a way to make that person the focal point because that's what it takes offensively to make sure that you compete and have confidence. The one thing I would say Ohio State players do, they got confidence in Barrett. I would say he's limited, but the thing that you know already is that whatever he's got, they believe in. And Hornibrook does not set his feet. He does not play aggressive. He has aggressiveness in him. I like the way he's bounced back from game to game when he's throwing interceptions, come back and play. But his footwork is terrible. Somebody has to work on it. He's throwing off his back foot. And he was not even ready to tuck the ball and run. Like, there were times where he just had wide open green space, and all he had to do was just tuck and run and get a first down. He ended up taking a sack, and now you're in second and 14 when you could have been in second and 7 and second and 6. The key is to move the chains and let you run. And then they did not commit to the running game. They got balls inside Ohio State's 20, moved the ball down there, and then started getting pass happy when they could have just run on them. They had the momentum, was not running on them, and didn't run on them. So there are times when you just don't do the right things to win. And then they had one of those magical fourth and one plays, which the Wisconsin defense came up big on the initial hit. I swear they spotted it with the right foot when it should have been spotted the left foot, second year in a row. They did it in the Michigan game, and they did it in the Wisconsin game. Nobody gives more breaks in life than Urban Meyer. You know, only Ohio State can have two losses and one by as many as they lost to Iowa State and still be relevant at the end of the year. Anybody else had that kind of loss, yeah, they wouldn't even be part of the conversation. You know, USC couldn't even be in the conversation, and I don't think USC's losses were as bad as that loss to Iowa. So then you go in and you say, okay, what happened? So my argument was, I was going back and forth with Phil T about this, you know, because rational, you know, just because there's a lot of Alabama love, it makes sense that they would go for Alabama. But I was like, with the power of the Big Ten, Jim Delaney, you got a Big Ten champion, the way like Ohio State historically, I feel like they're gonna go. Ohio State by far had to be, I would say, but they had a better schedule against better competition. I'm still trying to figure out what Alabama's significant win was. They keep wanting to try to talk about Florida State, but Florida State, even with Francois not getting hurt or whatever, they still were shaky. And Jimbo could see that. That's why he on his way to Texas A&M. They weren't ready for prime time. You could see that. And that was even before he got hurt, before the quarterback got hurt. So it was – and all that stuff was based on preseason rankings before we even saw a team. So I'm not sure where their significant victory is. But, you know, they aren't supposed to go with pass-front reputations, but they seem to do that all the time with Alabama. So I knew they'd be in the conversation. But I felt like you got a Big Ten champion. You got a team that just beat the number 4 team in the country. And then they beat the number 12 team in the country. They've had some pretty good wins down the stretch here. Figured the Buckeyes would be in. But I knew if they brought the Buckeyes in, they was going to take a slacking. If they played Clemson, they were going to get beat not by 31 this time. They would have got beat by 41. Because Clemson would have figured out and would have done exactly what I said you need to do against Ohio State. That's why they did it last year. And they blew them out. They realized Ohio State is very limited. And they defended against those things, and they got the speed on top of it, and Ohio State was basically bottled up. And I think at the end of the day, the committee said, we don't want to see that beatdown again. We don't want to see that beatdown again. We've seen this movie. It doesn't end well. It's like Rocky against the first fight against Clubber Lang. That's what they thought. They don't know if they were going to come back like Rocky because they don't have no Apollo Creed in their corner, you know, talking about what's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. They don't have none of that. They just knew it's going to be another big down. This one's going to be like Drago against Apollo. That's what they felt like it was going to be. They said, we want to spare you that beat down. So they go with Alabama. So Clemson at number one. You got Oklahoma. You got Georgia, those three were locks. And then you get Alabama, who didn't win their division and didn't win their conference tournament. So what do they say? They say, we just going to make whatever rule we're going to make up that's going to get a marquee team in, no matter what they do. That's basically what this committee said. Your brand is strong enough, we're going to get you in. Now, people say the eye test, and I'm like, look, the SEC West and the SEC East was garbage. If we want to just use every analysis we can use on everything else, other than Alabama in the West and Auburn and Georgia in the East, nobody else scares you in the SEC. So where do those victories come from? But we're not using that logic anymore because we only use that for the Pac-10, Pac-12. We don't use that for the Big 12. We use that for the Big 10. We don't use that for all these other conferences. We just conveniently forget about the garbage that ends up at the SEC. We will try to make that case somewhat for the ACC. But, you know, now we're giving Clemson the pass on those things. But I like Clemson. So they're going to end up just putting together who they think they're going to put together. And so that's where we're at. That's where we're at. So what does that mean? Well, having said all that, I like these four. Having said all that, all the problems I have with it, I like these four teams. In fact, I could argue that these are the best four teams. I think these are going to be competitive games. If I were ranking the teams myself, after saying all of that, I would probably go Clemson, Oklahoma, Alabama, and Georgia. The team that's sneaky that people aren't really talking about, and I've just grown to kind of like a little bit, is Oklahoma. Because Baker Mayfield, I'm hoping the Steelers draft him, has got an attitude and an approach to the game that I just love. I absolutely love Baker Mayfield. And I love him because he ain't really trying to, like a lot of young people, care what other folks think. They want to be impressionable. They want to be, they worried about their brand. Baker Mayfield is old school. He just cares about winning. And you either with us or you with them. And he even lose sight that you got little kids around you because when he's competing, he don't care who's in it. It's like I'm coming at you. And he's got so much confidence right now. And he's running that offense in such a way. He's so competitive. He's got a level of competitiveness right now. He's had some duels with some great quarterbacks that he is literally on fire right now. Now, the question you could say is he going to get the Heisman jinx? And that's a possibility. But I just think, that he just has such a mindset around competition that he is going to do whatever he needs to do to be competitive. So I think they might house Georgia. And I think Georgia looked good, but I think this is where it comes down to the fact that they got a freshman quarterback. They got a young quarterback. And when you're trying to compete, he's trying to keep up with Baker, it ain't going to happen. It's the same scenario that played out in the Wisconsin game against Ohio State. At a certain point, having a veteran quarterback and a young kid, you're going to get caught up somewhere. And I just think that Baker just going to have them on so much fire that, their quarterback's a year away from being able to compete in that kind of scenario. So I look at Oklahoma to maybe win by like 14 in that game. So now you got Alabama and you got Clemson. Boy, this is a heavyweight fight. And everything else I said, nobody talks more junk than Dabo, and nobody's more ornery than Saban. Dabo's got the Alabama roots, but Dabo's like that son who just went astray. He just got a hold of, he's trying to dance with the kids. He throwing his leg out. He's so much different, opposite from Saban, straight laced. This comes down to which style wins out. I think in a game like that, this is where Alabama struggles because Dabo just going to have them loose. Dabo's going to have them loose. And sometimes in big games like that, the team, and this was the difference I saw in the Big Ten Championship. Ohio State players at the beginning, when they came out right after stretching, they were dancing in the middle of the field. There was a looseness and a confidence they had about that game that for the first time, I didn't really see the Badger players having. I remember when was it Ferguson at one of the games, the Michigan game, the music was coming on. He was out there dancing. I didn't know he had moves like that. He was out there dancing and hanging, and they had the energy. They lost that fun energy that I think that Paul, Chris tried to keep it. For some reason, it got too serious. Like, you in the moment, let it go. Dabbles players always have it. And part of it is, one of the things I heard their players say, it that I knew from the times I played on championship teams, and I've always said this. I know even in high school, our high school team, we went on 23-game winning streak. Won a state championship in Michigan, and then going on for a second one. And the thing we always knew we had over teams is that our practices were harder than the games. Our second unit gave us such a good look. It was so competitive. We were talking junk in the hallway about what we were going to do, but it felt like a game every day. And when you compete like that, when you go to the actual game, the game slows down for you. And I think they create such a competitive environment at Clemson. It's not uptight. They work at it so hard that I think Dabo has created. I've been critical of Dabo on a whole bunch of other social issues around. Y'all know how I feel if you've been listening to this around it. But I'm talking about the football preparation. I think the difference is they're going to be loose. The similar teams in a lot of different ways, similar skill set. I think the difference is there is there's an element around failure and fear going to the sidelines in Alabama that's not going to be there with Clemson. That only matters in games like this, where, you know, that works for Mississippi State. That might even work. Doesn't work really against Auburn. Did quite work there, but that might be a little uptight. That's not going to be uptight on the Clemson side. To me, I think that's the difference. I think Clemson nips them. I think it's still a great game. I just think that Kelly's going to make a few more plays. I think some of the issues they're having with linebacker at Alabama are going to show up in this game, and that ability to not be able to defend on that second level. I think they're going to test the secondary in ways they haven't been tested that I think is critical against Alabama. And I think defensively they're going to really put a lock on that running game and force a passing game out of Alabama. In ways that Saban said he's been trying to prepare for, but I just haven't seen it. I haven't seen their willingness to throw in a way that Saban claims he's been trying to open the offense up. I haven't seen it enough for them to be able to win this game. So then I think it's Clemson against Oklahoma. And I'll tell you right now, this one, I might even have to go get me a credential for this one. I might even go out there to watch this one. Get your popcorn ready. I think this might be one of them championships where it's like 42-37. You know, it might be, you know, it ain't that the defenses are bad. It just means the offenses are just going to be on fire. Plays are just going to be made all over the field. And you got Baker talking. You got Dabble talking. You know, it's going to be a lot of talking. I like the feel of that one. That one could be a real interesting thing. And, but at the end of the day, I think Dabo gets it. As much as I hate to say it, I think Dabo found his vibe. I think he found his comfort zone. I think he's found his stride as a coach, his comfortable space as a Clemens coach. I think after this victory, he starts to challenge Saban for that mantle of who's the best coach in the country. And so that's how I feel it. You listen to RSG One Mic. This is D. Wills holding it down tonight. We're talking about tonight. We're going to talk about the college football Final Four. This is our topic for tonight. We're going to get deep when I get Hank back on our next podcast. We're going to break down the bowl games because there's a lot of great bowl matchups. I'm going to wait for Hank to come in the building. You know, we're here with our good friends at Carbon World Health. Again, I want to thank them for hosting me during the Big Ten Championship. It's good to have friends in high places. You know, Ashley's my homie. She looks out for me health-wise. I even had to make sure she checked my food before I ate it. You know, like, can I eat this? Doc was with me. We looked over there like, can I eat this? And she was there always looking out for me. You know, that's the kind of experience you get over there. So it was a good experience. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about the what ifs. What if this would have happened? What does this mean for some of the teams on the outside looking in? What does it mean for some of the potential coaching changes to kind of, you know, get people ready for who could be here next year? There's a lot going on in the college game. And so, you know, when we come back, we'll get into that a little bit. You know, I'm here hanging. You know, we're going to hit this little musical interlude for you.
One thing I want you to do for me.
What?
One. One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never. Business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam. Who you know do it better.
This is Doug Fisher, editor of RingTV.com, and I'm on the Real Sports Guys podcast.
All right, you listen to RSG One Mic. This is D. Wilson, the building. I'm flying solo tonight. And our topic tonight, and then there were four. We talked a little about the teams that made it, but how did they make it? So let's start with Oklahoma TCU. Now, with some of these championship games, it was straight theme. Somebody got taken behind the woodshed and didn't come out alive. TCU, you know, had one of the top defenses in the country, and Oklahoma rang up 47 on them, beat them 41, beat them 41-17. Dominated this game big time. When you think about, what went down, you had Hill had for TCU had 234 yards, two D's and one interception. Baker Mayfield had 243 yards, and four touchdowns. And he wanted to go for that fifth touchdown to give him the record. He was just, he had his clown suit on. He was doing an incredible job, making a hand. Anderson had 24 carries for 83 yards, keeping the honest on the ground. And Oklahoma, rang it up. You know, they went up 17-0, and then TCU put 17 up in the second quarter. And then Oklahoma got another seven right before halftime to take the lead. And then they just, the third quarter is where it just went crazy. They hit 17 points in the third quarter, basically blanked TCU in the second half. And just ran away with it. But, you know, Baker Mayfield, you know, having that MVP performance in there, just did his thing and sealed the Heisman for himself. And then we had the rematch down there in Atlanta in the SEC championship between Auburn and Georgia. And it was almost a reversal. Auburn goes down, scores seven off the bat, and then Georgia goes 28 unanswered. Down there, and Coach Smart has an opportunity to do what his mentor and his old boss do, a chance to try and go for the championship right off the bat. But Fromm, who's the young kid, had 183 yards and two touchdowns, made the plays we had to. Swift had 88 yards and a touchdown. Johnson for Auburn, didn't look like himself. He had 44 yards, but he couldn't get anything going and Stidham had 145 yards passing, one touchdown. They kind of kept them bottled up offensively, and they couldn't really get any movement going. And, they basically scored on that first drive and then just got blanked. Georgia got 10 in the second quarter. They got another field goal, and then the fourth quarter, they just ran away with it. They scored 15 in the fourth to get that 28 there. And so basically controlled the game there and got there, if you want to call it, revenge in that game. And so, and then Clemson playing Miami, the turnover chain got turned over. Somebody took that turnover chain and told them to turn it over after the game, because they whooped Miami like they stole something. And they beat the Canes 38-3. Clemson was just basically, we the bullies on the block. Y'all may be the U, but we about to do this to you. And I know all my cats, some of my homies from Miami, they was feeling that beat down. But then they get rewarded with going to the Orange Bowl and basically playing Wisconsin in a home game. In the Orange Bowl, they ain't gonna make them travel out of Miami at all. 38-3. I mean, this was just not even fair. They just basically controlled that run game. They got them big boys up front. Bryant had 252 yards and a touchdown. Rozier had two interceptions, only 110 yards passing. Etienne had 24 yards and a touchdown. Dallas for Miami had only 44 yards rushing. But, I mean, they didn't get their 3 points until the fourth quarter. And it's just they did it every other way you needed to do it. And they put that pressure on them. And, dominated from – from jump. And so, you try to look at, the way he had the two interceptions plus, you're giving up sacks. There's three turnovers. They had a fumble loss. I mean, Miami was just giving that ball over, wasn't giving themselves a chance, to even compete. And so, most of these teams had dominant performances. Obviously Alabama was idle and didn't play. And then in some of the other ones, Stanford against USC, that was a 31-28. battle there in some of the, in the Pac-10 championship. We already talked about Ohio State, Wisconsin. One of the memorable games is the UCF. Again, UCF playing a great game against Memphis, 2-55 in overtime. In the middle of that game, towards the announcement came out about Frost going to Nebraska while they're trying to win this big game. And, you know, it's, those things are hard to control, but it just tells you so much about college sports. And I think, you know, it's great that Scott Frost is going to Nebraska. That's, you know, I know they're talking about Florida and a lot of other jobs, but, you know, if Nebraska is going to become relevant, they need one of the guys to come home who can actually get the program back on the map. This guy's got extensive recruiting ties in both coasts. You know, he works with Oregon and his time out there, has developed relationships out there on the West Coast. Obviously, his time in Central Florida, he's developed some relationships in Florida. So he's going to be able to recruit nationally for Nebraska for the first time in a long time. Nebraska can do some things nationally. And he runs an offense that is part of Nebraska's biggest challenge has been having an offense that's been productive. But the other thing is that they got to get those defenses together. I was talking to my guy, Dave Lecrae, who's from Miami. Grew up in Miami, went to Southridge High School, but he's a Nebraska fan. And then, which probably drives our other friend, who's both, they both went to the same high school. He's a Hurricane fan. A lot of those other guys are Hurricane fans who I play football with, good friends with. But like Dave said, he said the first thing he should do is grab all them black shirts and put them in stores until these guys earn them. I wouldn't give these guys in Nebraska black shirts until David, at least their defense is ranked in the top five. At that point, we bring out the black shirts. You don't get a black shirt until your defense is ranked in the top five in the country. Then we know we're back to black shirt Bill. But I think that's one of the things that he'll have to establish, that what Nebraska is all about. But the ability to score is something he can definitely do. He's done it in multiple places. You know, as someone who is now, I'm laughing right now. If you have a chance to watch this Pittsburgh Steelers game, Le'Veon Bell just scored. And Pittsburgh has been probably the most creative folks. You would think about it. It's like, this is Tomlin. You know, and he's kind of straight-laced. But these guys have been entertaining. So Le'Veon scores. Now, we're going to see if he scores. He actually stayed in bounds. Le'Veon scores. And then he lays on the ground and they pretend to pending with his leg over. One of the guys is holding his leg up and pinning him on the ground as if it was wrestling. These cats have more entertaining type of things. And it was a play where the Bengal players thought he stepped out of bounds. He just kept going, oh, man. And my boy Marv Lewis is over there looking sick. But he's on his back and he got his leg up in the air like it's a pin, like he getting pinned by Dusty Rhodes. Oh man, they're entertaining. But back to what I was saying about Frost, he's gonna have these guys back in the mix and competitive offensively. You know, as someone who watches the Badgers, you know, having a relevant Nebraska team is gonna help any team in that West. I gotta love this. You gotta see this if you get a chance to see the highlight. He got the youngster. Schuster pinning him while Brown is tapping out and counting out the 1, 2, 3. Well, they must spend at least a half of practice working on routines in Pittsburgh because they know they're going to score. But Nebraska's on his way back to being relevant. Are they going to be on the Tom Osborne, that perennial top five team? No. But if you're Nebraska fans, you want to have a chance to compete for that West. It'd be you and Wisconsin competing. Have a chance to get in a Big Ten championship with an opportunity every once in a while that you're going to be able to get into that four. If nothing else, you're going to be playing a bowl with a top 10 team. You want to be in the top 10, top 12 on a consistent basis. In some years, you want to be kind of like Wisconsin, pushing for that top four. And then winning your bowl games, whatever bowl game you go to, you're going to win. And I think they can establish that kind of thing. And if they can get it rolling, you never know where they go. So we're set up, you know, we're set with the Final Four here. It's going to be a doozy. And I'm excited about where it's going to go. I hope you are. you listen to Real Sports Guys, RSG One Mic, where we go deep. Please go to all the social media platforms, Real Sports Guys, and either like us, follow us, whatever you need to do, and engage us. We're on Instagram. Love to hear from you. We enjoy going back and forth. I'm at RSG D Wills, D-W-I-L-S, on all those platforms. Love to, I ace folks all the time. Just come strong. Because, you know, if you come up here and come to me week, you know, as if people on Facebook know, I'll give you that Mutombo finger. But if you come weak, I'm gonna come at you. You know, I'm gonna come at you like this. Yeah, you're gonna get some of that cocaine on you, or like this. You're gonna get one of those if you come up in here on this, or like this. One of them things you gonna get if you come in a little bit weak with some weak sauce up here in the lane. But we definitely invite you to come and bring it to us, you know, and don't come wrong. Don't come wrong on my boy, Game Changer, because he don't play, because, you know, Game Changer is always doing his thing. You know, he's a contact that's always,
Sundays. I'm going to be doing that Maxine Waters, reclaiming my time.
He reclaiming his time. Don't mean he ain't going to get at you. So we got a lot going on here. We're excited about this. Phil T called us. We're going back and forth, but he was right. He called to Alabama getting the final spot for all the right reasons. You know, he's the Dr. Dre of the game. He's the guy who's reusing the right logic. I don't always do. I lead with my emotions. And so Phil's the kind of guy that can settle us every once in a while. So he was right going back and forth on this. This cat's been going to all the big games. I can't wait to get him back on air. He's been at a number of big games here in recent weeks. So I'm looking forward to reconvening, connecting with the fellas when you get a chance. When we come back, we're going to drop the mic. We're going to wrap it up. We're going to put a bow on it. We're going to do what we do.
Team Bowman, this is Alton the Bowman Cunningham, what's a beast to a bow, and we're keeping it real with Real Sports Guys.
Yes, I'm in. The Bowman is going to be fighting his first nationally televised fight on AXS. If you get a chance to do it, they show their MMA on there. If you're subscribing to that, definitely check him out. He's going to be fighting here in a couple weeks. We'll probably try to get him on before his fight. You know, we always want to support him. We've been watching him through his journey. Before you know it, he will be on that UFC space, stage. That's how we do. We get you on the come up. So, as I prepare to, drop the mic here, if you've been following me on Twitter and everything else, I've been pretty outspoken about how I thought this Wisconsin team was being treated. And some people say you can be a homer about that, your own perspective, but I felt like this team deserved a lot more respect than they got in the national media. I believe they fared themselves well on Saturday coming back. They didn't play their best game. I think they'll play very well against Miami. But part of this is, you know, and I think Clemson went through this. I think Dabo could probably relate to this. Before they finally broke through and won, you know, they were billed as this team that couldn't win the big game. And, you know, Dabo was pretty outspoken about that and pushed back a lot. But all I ask when we look at these things, and I ask people in national media, is if you have a criteria for what you're using, use it fairly across the board. That's it. And if that results in Alabama being selected, not being a non-divisional champ, I'm cool with that. But I don't think that was what people were using. I think people kind of drink the Kool-Aid. They're in these spaces. There is bias around some of this stuff. And sometimes you just got to take this stuff. You know, one of the things I've communicated sometimes with, you know, some of the players that I've engaged is that you got to take this stuff. You have to not, people ain't gonna give you anything. And I think one of the lessons, and I was telling Phil T this, particularly for the Big Ten, stop whining. You got to start taking it. You got the right coaches in there to win. You got to start taking it. Players, you got to start taking it, because they're not going to give you anything. They're finding a way to now pub the ACC over the Big Ten, now the SEC West or East. Even though Wisconsin whooped up and beat, and pushed them around a little bit last year, LSU with a Fournette who is killing people in the NFL. So he's an NFL running back. They withstood that all last year. And no matter what that kind of evidence, it does not play out. So you're just going to have to man up and go get it. And the one thing I can say about Urban Meyer is he's the one coach in the Big Ten who has that attitude. Jim Harbaugh has it. He's just waiting to get his quarterback, and he'll be on the scene, and that'll start next year. I think Paul Chris is trying to find that quarterback. He's got a championship and everything else he's got. You got Frost coming over here to Nebraska. That's going to be interesting. But you got to go get it. On the other side, you got to command people like Coach Saban, who got his start in the Big Ten, for building a system, a way of doing it. You got to commend him, and he's being rewarded for it. You got to commend Dabo Swinney for building a system, creating an expectation, not letting 25 years of absent presence in some of this stuff stop him from believing that Clemson could be the kind of program it's become. You gotta commend Kirby Smart after taking that loss to Auburn, where the Georgia fans and Georgia program usually would wilt. He brought a little bit of Alabama sauce to it and got him to bounce back and respond in the SEC championship and go in into the game ready to flow, ready to go, believing that they have all the ability in the world to be the kind of champs they can be, that they have the ability to go to whatever level they can go to. And that is incredibly important when you have been a program that's probably, when you think about talent in Georgia, has fallen short more than any other program you can have. If you think about the kind of talent, you know, it's one of the reasons why Rick is right now at Florida, is it because they haven't had the top talent. That's not it, but they just have never realized their talent. And this year, at a time when they could have buckled, they stood up with basically a freshman quarterback running. And you got to think someone like Lincoln Riley, who looks like your little cousin, looks like he could still play, having to take over for his mentor, who right before, basically before the season, I mean, your season's well on, Bob Stoops announced he's retiring and walks away after 18 years. You get named the head coach with a team that was supposed to be good. And you first take this team into Columbus and get a victory, culminating with the Baker Mayfield. I'm going to attempt to spear the flag into some turf. You go through, you have a hiccup against Iowa State. You come back, get some big victories, get some showdowns. You regain and get this team focused, and get them over a hump in a way that they sometimes in recent history have wilted and kind of landed and fizzled out. But you got them recharged. You even find a way to handle a situation where Baker, yes, he did the wrong thing. He should have been a little more conscious of his surroundings, should have been there. But you even, you get you teared up, you did all that other stuff, but you find a way to get them focused and past that moment. And now you're sitting here with an opportunity after taking over. It feels like you got that Steve Fisher flow going, you know, kind of like when Fisher took over for Frieder right after losing to Illinois, and Bo said he's going to have a Michigan man coach a Michigan team. And then Fisher takes him on that crazy run with Glenn Rice. It's like Baker Mayfield is your Glenn Rice, your G money. If Glenn is out there, he hears what I'm talking about, your G money of the group who's ready to put on an incredible performance. I think we're going to have some exciting football. And the other thing we can't forget, and we'll go over this, is that we got a lot of other great bowl matchups. And what hasn't happened as much as I thought it would happen is that people have appreciated these other bowl matchups. Even though we got these great teams that are going to be playing in these games, it's going to garner a lot of attention. There's some other great bowl matchups, and Hank and I will go for that. Martavius Bryant just took it to the house on them. Man, this game is out of control. My goodness. Oh, there's a flag on it, though. Sorry about that. I just lost my final words flow on it. This Pittsburgh-Cincinnati game is crazy. A.C. Green, or A.J. Green, is clowning. Got his clown suit on out here. They got a holding on one, but a great return. But it's one of those things where it's going to be a great season, and Hank and I are going to go over some of these games and highlight that you should be looking at. I'm still trying to work on it. I might be going down to Miami for this Wisconsin Hurricane game, which I think is going to be a great game, two emerging programs. So there's going to be a lot of good football to be played. We're going to go through that when Hank be joins us under here. This is RSG One Mike. As always, we appreciate you. You know, keep rolling with us. Keep being there with us. Keep holding it down with us. We'll see you next time on these airways. Check us out at Real Sports Guys on all platforms, on all podcasts. Like us. Let us know you're listening. Give us feedback. Help us improve. Help us give you more of what you want in the game, and we'll work hard to deliver.